At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a beautiful, blustery Monday in Cleveland, except for the Cleveland Browns, who now fall to 3-9 of the season. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How was your extended break, the holiday, everything that... Was it everything you wanted it to be?
Yes, because... Okay. By the end of it, the Wilsons were sick of each other.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah. Like, by the end of it, by like yesterday evening, we had all had it. We all knew what our games were. We knew the tricks. And we said, okay, let's get back to work.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes me feel a lot better. On Saturday, I was at the auto body shop. I had to get a repair to my car. And it was a thing where I thought they were just going to check it out and then schedule for another day. And it was like an hour and a half in. And they're like, well, we can do it in like an hour. So we'll go ahead and do that. And I'm like, all right, you said an hour. And then it turned out to be like 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there all day long, and I'm like, I'm watching the Ohio State-Michigan game like from this auto repair shop. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Not a bad way to watch a sporting event. It's me, nobody else. I'm just sitting here on my phone. I got peace and quiet. Not a bad thing, really.
It's pretty much not me bad. In my office every Sunday and most Saturdays. And like this week, you understand, Saturday, kids wanted to go see Wicked for Good. I absolutely have nothing in any of those movies, but I love my children.
I heard it was for bad.
So it was just for worse than the original.
Okay,
I think is maybe the better way to put it. It wasn't awful, but it just wasn't as good as the original. Again, I don't like either of them, but my point is, you get where I'm going. But anyways, I forgot, though, because I was like, wow, it's a two-hour movie. We'll get to the matinee. We'll be home right in time for kickoff. I forgot about the 30 minutes of previews. So I mistimed it by 30 minutes. So I missed, and obviously the game doesn't kick off at noon. So we're okay.
It wasn't until about like 12:15 or so.
So we really only missed like 8 minutes of the first quarter. But if there's ever any way that I can show that I love my children, that would be it. I missed the first 8 minutes of a game that every year I make sure nothing interferes with this.
Was there no earlier times?
We got the earliest time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I it's a questionable call at best, but you got to do what you got to do.
Mm. Now, this being said,
that was like the juicy part for Michigan, by the way. The first 8 minutes,
it really was. Yeah, it was.
Everyone just kind of shows what kind of belief you had in the game itself.
I knew.
And I think deep down, that's kind of where I was at with it too. I think deep down, we just kind of all knew where that game was going.
Now, I don't think we knew where the San Francisco game was going, because once again, the Browns under Kevin Stefanski in 2025 have shown impressive ways to lose games.
They continue to. So yesterday was odd because it felt like everyone just wanted to yell about the special teams, and I want to yell about special teams, but I don't want to do 5 hours about yelling about special teams.
You sure?
Like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a good time to me. When I got into this business, I didn't get into this to yell about special teams for 5 hours. Bubba Ventrone sucks. Tell me what else is new. You know, what else do I need to see from this man to tell me that the special teams isn't going to be good, hasn't been good, and won't continue to be good?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think Bubba is an atrocious coach. Like, we've had some coaches where it's like, who is the dipstick offensive line coach? Andy Dickerson. The dude lasted a month on the job.
He looked like Bob Ross.
And got blown out of Cleveland.
Couldn't trust anyone with that hairstyle.
Now, there is a catch-22 here of, are they actually, do they have enough special teams enforcers, aces, whatever you want to call it, or is Bubba just bad at his job? You can have that conversation. My thing is, you either coach it or you allow it. That's like the number one cliche I've heard players say to me. So at some point, it's not about Bubba Ventrone. At some point, it's not about an offensive line coach or a quarterback's coach. No, at some point, if the team keeps making the same mistakes, it's two things. One, you're not very talented, but the more damning is you're not very well coached. And that's like, I can level Andrew Berry for what he has done the last 6 years, and it has not been good enough. He's been worse at his job than Kevin Stefanski has been at his job. But specific to yesterday, well, those special teams gaffes, that's the third game this season lost single-handedly by special teams gaffes. That is no longer on Bubba Ventrone. It's the guy who says, hey, we got a lot of, I mean, we got accountability out the yin-yang, and then the team continues to go make the same mistakes.
I mean, the 49ers covered 16, 32, and 18 yards for their three touchdowns. What are you going to do in that situation? I mean, it's not as if Brock Purdy looked good in this game. It's that you gave him great field position, and then you screwed the pooch. And there are some plays I'd like to break down. There really are. Like Corley, I think that's a coaching mistake. I think not having the understanding and awareness to let the ball just go out of bounds in that moment, I don't know what else to call that but a lack of coaching there. Other things, though, like Gage Larvedan, it's on the coaches, not because Gage Larvedan missed the ball. It's because, why is Gage Larvedan the one that's the returning player on that kick anyway?
Mm-hmm.
He was in straight clothes 3 weeks ago, and he's the guy that's relied upon for this?
So, all right, this again, I'm not letting Bubba Ventrone off the hook, but at some point, the head coach takes victory laps within the media by saying, we don't fire people within the season because we're above that. Well, then you lose three games on special teams almost the identical same way. You have massive gigantic plays that either you're giving up or that you yourself are giving away. I'll be honest with you, the number one play that pissed me off to no end, the number one reason why it's getting harder and harder to defend Kevin Stefanski, and I say that as a guy who has bashed Kevin Stefanski the last 2 years, that fourth and one call.
Yeah.
At your own 30. That's a fireable play. It's not going to get him fired, not at least today, but going for it on fourth and one in a game that is still relatively close with a quarterback who in the first half played as well as any quarterback has played this year for you. To basically take the game out of the player's hands, I thought it was the quintessential moment of galaxy braining. I don't know what the hell you were thinking. You've been playing a field position game all game long, and then you get down by what is manageable late in the game or midway through the game, and you go ahead and you go for it on fourth and one on a play that, I'm sorry, logic tells you they didn't practice it because nobody looked like they knew what they were doing. That, to me, that's the play where I kind of turned on Kevin in the game and I was like, all right, Jack, what in the blue hell are you doing?
So it was the play call that I get the maddest about. It's not necessarily going for it on fourth and one in that situation, because we see teams all across the NFL, they'll go for it in that situation, and we've seen the Browns go for it in that situation previously. It's the idea that you're doing a direct snap to Harold Fannin.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't get cute in that moment. The only way you see this mess up, like, it's such a simple thing. You just have to get a yard. It's either a Shedeur Sanders, you take the ball and you do it yourself, and basically you do a glorified touch push, or you hand the ball off to Judkins and you do it really, really quickly and you go for it. Like, but you don't do a direct snap to Fannin. That's not the time to get cute there.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think it's the whole thing. It would have been much more defendable if they had just done the wildcat there. But the point is, the idea that the special teams had already set the defense up for failure by perpetually putting San Francisco in an ideal spot. And in fairness, an elite defense gets at least a stop there on one of the many times that San Francisco got the ball in the best possible scenario. And you didn't. So that needs to be said as well.
So what's funny, though, is this is the part where Stefanski thinks that he's actually an aggressive head coach. I think he gets confused as to what aggressive is. I think when he is throwing 5 yards, passes, he thinks that's a different version. But this, he's consistently been, in the time that he's been here, he will go for this play. We've seen him do it time and time again. They've gone for 11 fourth and one plays this year. Like, he lives for that. That's seventh most in the NFL. This is what he does. It's just, don't get cute in that moment.
Well, I think in cute is at the 30-yard line. If it's at the 50-yard line, I'm much more amiable to it. If it is at if it's 10 yards down the field, for the better, I totally am fine with it. It is at your own 30 when your defense is fighting for its life out there and has been set up to fail all day long. And at some point, you have to do the players. And by the way, there were moments where I'm like, oh, they're aggressive. They're trying to win this game. Right? I was loading up to get so pissed at the end of the first half because I'm like, they're going to go for three. They're playing for three. And then they made the big play to Fannin, which was a non-typical play. Loved it. Uh-huh. And then you had the fourth and one. At the other points, you're playing field. It's like, no. You either are playing the field position game all game long outside of a play at the end of the first half, or you're going to let that game slip away on top of just endless gaffes on special teams. And it's not just on special teams, but predominantly on special teams.
Yeah, no, I think this is, again, it's an odd quirk of Stefanski, is that we've seen him go for this fourth and one play. We've seen him do it even on the 30 like that. It's something that he feels very strongly, and we just haven't seen him blow up in his face this way. But we've never really seen him try to get like a trick play off of it. And that, I don't even know what he thought Fannin was going to do. Was that supposed to be just a direct snap and then Fannin jump over and make his own tush push play? Is that what he was going for?
I would imagine it was just, he was going to go for some low angle, get the snap, and just kind of wedge his way in there.
We've never seen Fannin do that. Is the problem with that? Like, why is that? The problem is with the actual play call itself. To me, is I don't know why that's the call there, and it did. It absolutely, that was, it was game blouses when that happened.
I think my frustration is there was, and Browns fans, you don't want to hear this today. I know you don't want. There's a lot of good in that game. I thought Shador in the first half had the best half of, I think, any quarterback that I can think of, like in terms of him doing what Kevin wanted to do while also making a big play or two. Like, that's the way that should look with the way Kevin wants it done. So that was a lot of good. Carson Schwesinger, that guy's a hell of a football player.
Even within like Shador, they didn't make any adjustments off of that. Like, did you hear any of Judkins in the post game? Like, Judkins, it was outstanding. He's like, yeah. So in the first half, they just went with their 4-man front. They didn't do any blitzes, weren't aggressive at all in any sort of way. And so that's why I had a lot of carries. And then in the second half, where they had all 40 rushing yards the entire half, Judkins is like, yeah, they put 8 and 9 guys in the box. They completely changed and they kept going back to me.
Well,
it's like, okay, like, shouldn't you have to alter your approach? You see, Saleh almost set him up in order to have that poor second half the way that they did.
Not just that. In the first half, you weren't just running on first and second down. You were passing on first down and then running on second down. You were mixing it up, and then it felt like in the second half they said, all right, we're going back to running on first and second down.
Well, you know what it was? Here's the problem, is that the drive right before the half that we discussed, still in the first half, that was 9 straight running plays before Shador threw the ball to Harold Fannin. 9 straight, Nick. 9 straight running plays.
Is that not good?
That's not balanced football, I'll tell you that much. It was like right at the spot where the broadcast crew was like, hey, they've been on a really balanced game between the run and the pass. They just decided to completely eject from the pass button.
216-474-0092. That game was a much more competitive game that was blown wide open by a couple of coaching gaffes in the second half. And that's the stuff. That's like the third or fourth time that I can say that, where in a game where I'll let players make mistakes, I'll let Corley make mistakes, I'll let Larvadane make mistakes, I don't want my own coaching staff to crack open a game and just give it to the other team.
Yeah, but this is the Stefanski special.
This year,
it's like, kind of like a lunch menu, the Stefanski special. I'll order that one. It's the one where you continually show us different ways to not only just fail and put teams in awful situations. I don't know how he does it. Seriously, every game it feels like we're in, he finds some new way to just vomit all over his shoes.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's incredible.
You know, it did go San Francisco's way the next 30 yards and I believe 7 points their way. It's interesting. I take umbrage with the fact that you went for it on 4th and 1 at the 30, and you take umbrage with a play call.
Yeah.
And Kevin basically says there, it's on the players to execute.
Right? It's really passing the buck, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've always talked about accountability. It seems like it's the theme of this season. But in that instance right there, how are you passing the blame right there? That's insane to me.
Yeah, it bugged me a lot. The funny thing is, the first time I heard it, I just didn't register it. As we were listening to there, it was like, oh, that's a window into Kevin Stefanski's failure as a leader.
No, but you know what this is, though? This is process versus outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when you have your ideology be process versus outcome, we don't care about the results of what happened. We only care about whether or not you made the right call and everything else is out of your hands. You get answers like that. That's a problem with that line of thinking.
No, totally fair. But the thing that he and every time Kevin chooses to answer a question like this, where he actually is telling you something, he's telling you that players have to execute. But there's always a kernel that is left unidentified or and untouched. And in this case, it's why'd you have to do it at your own 30 at that point in the ballgame? Because I believe, by the way, he is correct. Like, process-wise, I believe that occasionally, even in a game that's ground control, you have to be aggressive. You were selectively aggressive at the end of the first half with a fan in play, and it worked out perfectly. You were 20 yards short of where that play would be acceptable. And what's interesting is, I don't mind losing in and of itself if it's going towards something greater, right? And I watched Carson Schwetzinger play yesterday. He was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Fannin Jr., the Yak King, who could have seen that coming? There were some great plays on defense just single-handedly that guys made. Miles got another sack. Mason Graham continuing to do things up the middle and continuing to show that if you actually watch football, you see a hell of a football player happening there, right? There was a lot of good. The first half was Shador. There was a lot of good that can be gone, can be taken from what you did.
Judkins had some nice runs.
Honestly, guys, I thought Tommy Rees in the first half was in his bag. I thought mixing up the run and pass, I thought some of the different kind of, not trick plays, but some of the different plays that they were trying to do at different times.
Even their end around worked. Some weeks it does, some weeks it doesn't.
I want to say it worked twice in that game. So there were some things that I really liked in this game. It's not that they lost, it's how they lost. And I cannot fathom why Kevin Stefanski is comfortable turning a competitive loss into a non-competitive blowout. Because that's what happened between the coaching staff with the special teams issues. And again, at some point, if Bubba Ventrone, it doesn't matter if that, wow, it's a really good scheme. The scheme looks great. It doesn't matter if the players are breaking down. Because at some point, you need those players to make those plays.
I mean,
that
yeah.
should be happening across 12 damn games.
And it worked on both sides of special teams, too. It worked on when they were receiving the ball and when they were kicking the ball off. And you watched the 49ers have just great field. You just can't give them that field position and expect to win a game. It's very unfair to the defense, first off, but it's just unfair in general.
What ended up bugging me about this game so much is the offense played well enough to win. Don't take off the 8 points. Don't think about that. Think about how Shador and the running game played. And honestly, there were some decent moments blocking, considering you were juggling offensive linemen all across the line. The offense played well enough to win yesterday. The defense
Their touchdowns were 16, 32, and 18 yards. Yeah. Like I don't know that Brock Purdy had it in him to go 80 yards in this game at all.
Yes.
And I think the understanding of that would have been, I mean, it would have just been obviously way more beneficial for Stefanski to grasp that. Like, there's a reason why I think a lot of Shador fans are hanging on to the idea that he looked better than Brock Purdy for a lot of stretches of that game. And it's because the reality is that one offense was actually going down the field, and the other one was only able to do so when given perfect field position. Like, it was not, it was so easy. It was set up right there for him. They just had to understand the moment.
Yeah, and in the second half, I thought the offense was really set up to fail by whether it was Tommy Rees or Kevin Stefanski, because they went from varying when do you run, when do you pass, not going too far on, I don't say trick plays, but on stuff like screens and stuff like that, to going back to vanilla and basic.
It was very vanilla. I don't know what that change was. I've never watched a Shador game where he does that, by the way. And I don't know that that's Shador doing that, by the way. I think that's him. I think he took a deep shot in that very first drive, and it went over Judy's head, and I think the rest of the game, and he admitted to it as much in the post game that he's got to keep taking shots, and he did, fortunately, with the Fannin play. But I think then in the second half, I think it was a close game, and I think he really wanted the win, and I think he was just being a good company man and being like, all right, I'm gonna throw the ball 5 yards at most. I'm gonna turn into basically what Dylan Gabriel turns into, and I just think that's a horrible decision by Shador. Like, do what got you there, buddy.
Yeah, this goes back to like the post game comments in defending Stefanski. They want him to prove you can toe the company line. It doesn't make it right. It certainly didn't help them play yesterday. But like in the first half, I thought Saleh said, hey, we're going to give you all the little underneath stuff. We're going to give you the opportunities to do to get to third and manageable. We're just not going to let you have the big play. And then in the second half, as you pointed out in the first segment, he flipped it. It was, we're going to take away the short stuff. We're going to take away the run game. And what kills me is they continue to neuter Shador. They continued to be like, well, all right, make sure you hit that 5 yard out route. And it's like, no, they're finally giving you plays down the field. Go back to, because again, you only need one or two of those big plays from Shador to put the 49ers defense back on their heels.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I thought the broadcast did a really good job, and this is maybe where I think the Browns failed in this game. I thought they did a really good job of highlighting just how it felt like both teams were cognizant that the weather was going to be very different in the second half than it was the first half. Not only were they expecting rain, but they were also expecting snow, and then you knew you were already playing with 40-mile-per-hour winds. And so, it was just Saleh. I want to tip the cap to him. He felt like he had the absolute right idea. It's as if he read the minds of the Browns and knew that they just go right into their shell and be scared about what that second half was going to be, and they went right into it. It was just I don't know how in that moment you don't swerve off of what's obviously happening now.
When the offense and defense both play well enough to win, and you lose by multiple scores, and it's on the head coach, it's on the special teams coordinator, it's on the special teams unit. That's just not how I'm comfortable losing.
No,
losing on quarterbacks throwing a turnover. I'm comfortable on defensive gaps, things that can be coached up. When special teams to me are like, it's like the built-in. It's like trust in a relationship.
I do like how everyone's giving their special teams truisms right now, by the way. Not you, obviously, just like everyone all today is like, what do we want out of special teams? It's a fun day to kind of feel out where people are with that. What was Coach Riz was talking about it, and he's like, yeah, special teams, you basically see not heard is the idea there.
No, it's like the offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only time, the way you know special teams is good is when we never have to talk about special teams.
Basically, that's why I'm bothered that I know it's going to be a big talking point all throughout the week, and we're going to try to find an answer to it, but this is like the third game now, Nick, where we've left, and on Mondays, we're just complaining about the special teams and talking about the special teams, and I would love it, I would enter the conversation if I felt like anything was going to change. The problem I have with the special teams is that we watch this week in, week out, they don't make any adjustments.
Yeah.
They don't make any changes. Like, that's the most bothersome thing. I can only give you so much of this airtime on special teams when it's obvious that they don't seem like they know how to fix it, and they don't have the guys or they don't have the wherewithal to fix it.
And listen, Bubba's going to say, well, but we've done this differently schematically and we've done this differently. That's not the point. The simple mistakes that you were making 8 weeks ago that were costing you games, you're still making. That's the problem. And again, I do think it's much more complex than it's just on Bubba. But at some point, if the mistakes are happening and the roster isn't changing around those guys, like if the roster's not changing around those guys and the coach continues to play the guys that are making these mistakes, nothing will get better.
Well, remember, for 1 week, they put a lot of the starters on special teams. They put a lot of them back out, like Schwesinger. A lot of those guys are actually like back out there playing special teams. And then you fast forward, and I got to go back and look at it, but I didn't see nearly as many starters out there on special teams. And like it felt like that was their 1 week quick fix, and it worked. It actually did work. And now they just went back to what they've been doing the entire year.
Devin Bush was the farthest man down the field on the punt return that almost went back for a touchdown. He was on the field on that one. Because he was the one that slipped up, and it looked like there was a block in the back, but we don't call that against the Browns. Not that I'm upset. Let's go with Jim in Strongsville. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. Listen, first and foremost, I thought that game started flipping, and I don't want to put it on defense. Defense had a great game, but look, you gave us 3 points before halftime, and I was just like, why? How? Why? Why? It made no sense. I don't know. Like, you needed to close that out with the lead. And not just because I had the under in the Browns in the first half. You had to close that out. And that made no sense to me. Secondly, Nick, I get what you're saying, but you can't say, well, take the 8 points out of it, but the offense played, no, they didn't play well enough to win. You scored 8 points. That's not enough to win. What were you going to win, 8-7?
No, I'm saying, real quick, Jim, I'm saying the players played well enough to win, and the second half, they were put in a position to lose.
Well, look, the coaching thing is all that is what it is. Jonathan, I'll say this to you. Shador might be a long-term project. He might. Well, I'm not seeing anything that makes. He's still floating. He really doesn't have. He's got good arm strength. He really doesn't have the arm strength that it's going to take. He's just not seeing the. You know what I mean? He holds the ball.
Did you miss the play last week that he threw that like guys on the broadcast were saying? Most NFL guys didn't know he could make that throw.
One was that?
The Isaiah Bond throw or what?
Yeah, the Isaiah Bond throw.
The one where he underthrew the receiver or Fannin, and then Fannin came back and caught the ball and then ran it in that one, the underthrown pass? Is that the one?
I don't know how we're talking about arm strength.
I don't know how we're talking
about Shador after two games.
It just feels like the wrong thing to be talking about at the moment. We won't talk about Shador. There's no denying that.
The offense is all garbage, guys. The whole offense is garbage. Flush the whole thing. If you think you're going to find lightning in a bottle with Shador, what? If I had confidence in Shador,
I don't know that anyone thinks that it's lightning in a bottle, but I think there's people like myself that want to see for the remainder of the year if there can
Absolutely.
Be something there.
Yeah, but why are
Absolutely.
We... I just don't get why we're writing Shador off the last 2 weeks when I think for 1 week to 2 week, we're seeing actual improvement from Shador and the things they want to see, which is the thing we never got from Dylan Gabriel from 1 week to 6 weeks.
I agree with you there. But here's what I'm saying, though. It's like you guys we're so starved that we just keep lowering the bar for what's acceptable around here. And, Nick, I need to say that, but your whole, the offense played well enough to win, that's like loser town talk. That's like we've lowered the bar so low.
Oh, not loser town. I don't want to go to loser town, Jim. Please, how do I avoid going to loser town, Jim?
Is that adjacent to Title Town? Is that
there,
it? It's
buddy.
Title Town and then Loser
You're
Town?
There.
Jim, we appreciate you, buddy.
Northside, Johnny. I don't want to hear about it, buddy.
He goes, right. You're there.
Oh, no. Oh, Lord, we're in Loser Town.
You got some prime real estate there in Loser Town, according to Jim.
So the thing that I agree with Jim on is that we have normalized this thing to a level that it is incredibly low. Our standards are incredibly low.
That's true.
But when you do not have... 30 points a game to go off of, you have to go to all the other things to grade. And if we go by what they said they wanted, right? They want Shador to be better in the pocket. He was better in the pocket in this game. I would say night and day better in the pocket. Now, I'm not talking about calling out defenses or calling out coverages or whatever, but I'm saying, he stood in the pocket and delivered a couple times in ways that he didn't the week before.
So here's the thing, though. It's total yards, 49ers, 252. Browns had 253. And then if you just do, I'm going to box score jockey this for you guys, but, Brock Purdy was 16-29 for 168 with a touchdown. Shador was 16-25, 149 with a touchdown. As far as the running game was concerned, 91 total yards for the 49ers, 138 for the Browns. Like, you won in a lot of the areas, or at least were playing neck and neck in a lot of the areas that you're supposed to in these games. The quarterback wasn't the difference in this one. It was clearly what happened on special teams.
I was supposed to give Dylan Gabriel a pass for what I would say is an ass game against Miami, even though they won by a lot, because, you know, the weather. And then we can't have that same conversation with Shador, who, by the way, I thought played reasonably well yesterday. Not great, right? Not great, not awful, just...
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Reasonably well. A nice little video of Jerry Jeudy and Shador Sanders disagreeing about some play they were rewatching, and it sure looked like Jerry Jeudy was at the end of his rope, and it kind of looked like Shador was too.
It did. Once he, once you could tell, like, Shador like tried to explain himself, and that was not a good enough answer. And it was like, I don't know what else I can tell you here. Like, yeah. Again, we don't know what he said. This is where we needed one of those TikTok, you know, the people that read lips. We need one of those people.
You know, they're not accurate, right?
I don't know that. What do you mean? They're like professional lip readers that go on TikTok and they read lips of people and then they tell you what they said. Is this all been a ruse the entire time?
It's like mediums. How do you know they're right?
What do you mean?
They could say anything and it could be, he's saying here that he really likes ducks. And
listen, maybe I'm the idiot for being like, when they intro the video and it's like, I've been a professional, or not, I don't know. What do you call a professional lip reader? I don't think it's a thing, but they've been reading lips for like 15 years and then they go right into the breakdown. Is it all just is it a hoax?
I don't want to besmirch a whole industry. But do I think there are a lot of frauds there?
I don't know if they're making a lot of money
Do I think there are a few people that can talk to the other side and the everybody else is just making money
guys? You think lip reading is just not a thing that people can do?
No, I think it is, especially for like people who are born deaf. A lot of people with hearing issues can. I'm saying people who try and monetize it on social media don't seem to be the most honest people that we've seen.
It's a skill set. How do you know about their integrity and whether or not they're honest or not? It's a skill set.
You should think 90% of people are full of crap.
It's not a bad way to live life, I guess, but I choose to believe in the lip readers.
So when you see like the videos...
I choose to believe in the lip readers.
When you see the videos where the husband tells a joke and then the wife goes like... You think that's real too?
I don't think those are real.
Okay,
no.
I just want to make sure.
No.
I didn't know what was real. There was a lot real that's on social
phony.
Media.
There's a lot that's phony on the internet. We can establish that. But for some reason, I think the integrity stops and starts with the lip readers, and they always have the same like intro. But you don't want to know why? It's because they seem like stand-up people. The lip reader part of TikTok.
What makes them stand up?
They
JP?
Look like librarians. They don't look like they're not Instagram thoughts. They're not anything like
that's
that.
That's how you know.
They look very like.
If it was an Instagram thought, I might actually believe it.
I just want to read lips and tell you guys what scandalous things people are or aren't saying. And the other side of this, they never say anything interesting. That's the other part. It's they constantly were like, whoa, Obama just told Trump this. I'd be like, all right, clearly that's not real. But they're always like, oh yeah, they were joking about a sandwich that they ate.
Yeah. So this is the same thing.
It's never really interesting.
It's the same pseudoscience used for mediums. Your dad?
No. Mediums are just frauds.
You like sandwiches?
No. Mediums are
frauds.
I do
like sandwiches.
Lip readers are a real thing that exists in society. So why would it not go to something that the one thing you could capitalize financially on is being able to read lips in a TikTok setting? Why wouldn't you finally capitalize on it? It's like having a parlor trick that makes you no money for your whole entire life. And then it's like, bang, people on TikTok want this?
Because they're all the same. Nobody's interesting. There's nothing interesting that comes out in these exchanges.
I want something out of this exchange. I think there's something interesting.
It's like the masters of banality.
I think there's something interesting that has happened between Jerry Judy and Shador Sanders. I want the lip readers on the case.
I like the Polynesian sauce.
I want to know what Posick said, too.
I like Chick-fil-A sauce. Oh, they're fighting about which sauce they like at a popular restaurant.
It'd be really funny if that was the argument. And like they went to the little tablets, too, and it was just like a bunch of different condiments on the tablet. No, I think he's been crashing out for a while now.
I don't need a lip reader to see he was crashing
out.
Well,
and so this is the part. So like 2 weeks ago, we break down that whole like minute and a half exchange and people are like, what are you guys doing? He just had a bad day. Just give him a break. The man had a bad day. Guys, it was so obviously not just a bad day. He was telling everybody that would pay attention, things are wrong here. I'm not enjoying what's going on. I'm having the worst season I've ever had professionally, and we need to figure this out. And so you're going to have moments like you saw on Sunday when you haven't taken care of the heart of the issue with Jerry Jeudy. And the heart of the issue is that when you start the game, Nick, with your first seven receptions for Shador Sanders going to six different wide receivers, me and you look at that like, cool, he's spreading the ball around. Jerry Jeudy looks at that like, oh no, this isn't getting any better for me.
Yeah, I really actually want to, I don't want to like hammer Jerry today because I think that's easy. And I understand, like Jerry Jeudy is coming from a place of this is my career. And in fairness, Jerry's not helped himself with drops and with little mental mistakes that happened early in the season.
Fumbles.
Also, in fairness to Jerry Jeudy, he's had three different quarterbacks, and you saw how the first two of the three quarterbacks played in extended time. So I don't know what's going on. I will tell you, as somebody who wants Shador to be good, as somebody who wants Shador to make it so we can talk about left tackles and wide receivers this offseason, because I'm not really in love with this quarterback class as of right now, and I don't know much is going to change on that.
Dante Moore got a C.J. Stroud comp today from one of the big scouts.
But as somebody who wants Shador to be good, in the same way that him defending Kevin Stefanski and shutting down the narratives on Friday would have helped him show them he's playing the game. He's playing the game they want him to play. I think this is a great opportunity for Shador to show leadership and to find a way to get right with Jerry Jeudy.
I think the only way to get right with Jerry Jeudy is do what Dylan Gabriel did in the Jets game, where you target him a million times and you make him the focal point of the offense, and that's just not how Shador operates.
Also, and here's the other problem with that. Jerry's not good enough to dictate that.
Right.
But his
brain hasn't caught up to that yet.
Like, he can be, well, he's not, that's, it's not his job to know that. It really isn't. Like, I don't expect self-awareness.
Part of your life is to have the self-awareness and understand who you are and whatever role you have. And I think he thought he was what he was last year, where he was 1,100 yards and did have this great breakout season. And I don't think his brain's adjusted to this new version of how he's perceived.
So, by the way, there's some middle room in between. He's some semblance of the guy we saw last year and this guy. I think when I say he's not good enough, what I mean by that is you can't force feed the ball to wide receiver you can't trust to catch the ball. And that's just the reality. And Jerry does have to understand that. But from Shador's side, Shador has to continue. I think the Shador Jerry Jeudy thing with five games to go can absolutely be something that you can try and build something real on, because if you can get through to Jerry Jeudy, if you can make him more comfortable, if you can help him stop from crashing out, I do think that's a way you can earn trust in that locker room.
Right now, it seems like when Chador needs a big play, he's dialing it up to Fannin, and he's not even thinking about Jerry Jeudy in the moment.
Yeah, and I think he's right, by the way, because I think Harold Fannin Jr. has accepted the assignment and done his assignment.
They have a real connection, those two, it seems like.
And again, I think Fannin has not let the quarterback down the way Jerry has. At the same point, I think it's easy just to go get the scrub off my team. And that might be the reality. Like this summer, you might just get to a point where it's like, let's do a post June 1 trade. And that's, I think it's only $6 million a year dead cap for like 3 years, 4 years after that. That might be where this thing's going. But I think it's a great opportunity for Chador to try and find that humanity with Jerry, and Jerry to try and find that humanity and pull him back from the edge, because it is very apparent he is out there on an edge. And I don't know, you have another week to go with this before it gets really, really ugly.
I just thought it was really interesting. You know, I've watched a lot of Chador Colorado, and Chador Colorado, him and Travis Hunter, they were best friends, though. So it's a little bit different, that dynamic. But like, Chador would get in his face. Chador would yell at him constantly. Chador would be like, he won't just sit back and let you go ahead and go at him and say, like, okay, everything's awesome. It's not really how he operates. And so I almost wonder if Jerry Jeudy was caught a little off guard, that he didn't just kind of take the brunt of the beating and then just kind of accept it. But that was a definite awkward exchange.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.